The book of Acts chapter number 20. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Josh, and Pastor Josh is usually the brunt of my comments, but I'm going to leave him alone tonight. He did a great job on everything he lined up this morning, all those, everything that was given out. That was just a great job with the kids and all of it. And Pastor Josh, thank you so much. I did ask the whole family to give me some dad stories on him. I asked the nieces to give me niece stories. His Uncle Mike is here. I said, Uncle Mike, I need a couple of Josh stories. So I'll have those with me the next time around. You're good today. You got an exemption this time, brother. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Please somebody say amen right there. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We're going to stay right there. I need you to keep your Bibles open tonight. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in this chapter, and then we're going to go to another chapter and make an application about what God is saying in Acts chapter 20. I've entitled this sermon, A Meeting with a Man of God. The elders from Ephesus came to Miletus, and they met with a man of God. They spent a little time with the Apostle Paul. It was the Ephesians farewell, they called it. They called him and met him out at a place where the Apostle Paul would not come to harm. He hugged their neck, they prayed together, they wept together, and they said farewell. Now, they met with a man of God for a few hours. This church has had a meeting with a man of God for 3 decades. Amen. This church has met with a man of God every Sunday, every Wednesday, for 30 great years. And I want to preach on this subject, a meeting with a man of God. Father, help us tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. May it have free course in our midst. And once again, we thank you for the man of God, for his dear wife, his sweet family, your hand upon them. Bless them in a mighty way tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everyone said together, amen. May be seated. Thank you for standing for so long. As mentioned, our text tonight is the Apostle Paul, and he is now beginning to make his way back from Asia Minor, and by the burden of his heart, he is going back to the city of Jerusalem. He's already had prophets come to him and say, don't go to Jerusalem. Harm is going to befall you there. Agabus and others said, don't go. It's going to be a bad decision. But the apostle was bound to go. He didn't know why, I'm sure. He had no idea that eventually God was going to send him to Rome in order to preach the gospel to Caesar and others, and God would use him in a great capacity and in an incredible and wonderful manner. On his way back, he decides he's going to spend some time with these elders from Ephesus. He had wept with them. He had prayed with them. They had had a revival, a great revival in the city of Ephesus, and the Bible says that these men that have turned the world upside down, the Bible said that he dwelt there for 2 years, and all those that dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. I mean, they had a Holy Ghost revival. But Paul was sent out. They hated him. They persecuted him. He had to flee for his life. But now he comes back to meet with these good men. They have a great time together on the island of Miletus. And the apostle begins to preach to them and give them his testimony and all the good things that God has put into his heart. We'll have to deal with all the background at another time for time's sake. But I want us to look about several things that we see about this great meeting with this man of God. A great meeting with a man of God. First of all, we want to see the Apostle Paul says to them in verse number 18, when they were come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day, you know what manner I have been with you at all seasons. We heard Dr. Smith wonderfully speak about that this morning and how he was with them at all seasons. In other words, he was the same way all the time. Didn't matter what problems arose. Didn't matter what trials came along. He kept on going for the glory of God. And so right away he said, you know what I was like. Later he would write to Timothy and say in chapter 3 and verse 10, not long before his death, he would say to him, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, faith, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He said, you know fully exactly who I am. Now, I'm glad for a pastor who doesn't hide from his people and stay somewhere in an ivory tower and come down and pretend like he has met with Jesus up on a tower. I'm glad for a pastor who loves his people and does stuff with them, good stuff, some stuff pretty crazy. Around this church, you must be a little bit crazy to be a part and a member of Church of the Open Door, but doing wonderful things together. I saw a picture of him on a camel last night, and he's sitting there in the Middle East and just on and on doing wonderful things for the glory of God. That way you know somebody. You know his family, you know his wife, his children, you know who they are and what they are. He said, you not only known us, but you have fully known several areas that he mentions. First of all, his manner. He said, you've known what manner I've been with you in verse 18, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. In other words, I'm doing the same thing. I'm a consistent man of God. We learned this morning that it is good to have manners. It is good to be godly. It is good when you're in the pulpit and when you're out of the pulpit. We can have fun, but there is a line that we do not cross. There's a place that we do not go. And so, and to maintain that position of godliness, he said, you know what manner. He knew his mind. He began to speak about them that they knew about his mind. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. We think about Philippians chapter 2. Where he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, I want you to hold on to the mind of Christ, the humility that we find in our Savior. Be not high-minded, but every man to think soberly according to the grace of God. How many believe this? Anybody here that has anything and has done anything, it's all because of the grace of God. I assure you, your pastor maintains that spirit, that attitude. I've heard him talk about it many times. I've seen it displayed in his life. And I can just tell you this, you ought to be surprised when any good thing happens to you. I hear people, how come all these bad things happen to good people? Well, I can just answer that quickly. Number one, there are no good people. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And really, there's nothing bad. We know that all things work together for what? Good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I've watched your pastor maintain that spirit, that attitude, that mind of Christ. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So he mentions his mind. He said, you've known his misfortunes. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears, temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. People have this idea, if you ever just get, we talk about it a lot, man, if I could just have the power of God. You want the power of God? I love what Jesus said. Can you drink of this cup? Can you drink this bitter cup? You see, we look at the power of God. Well, if I could just have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, touch your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. You understand what the Bible says? When you're anointed by God, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have some conflict. You're going to have some misunderstanding. No, I'm not saying that we're to walk around with a bullseye on our chest and poke people in the eye and say, hi, I'm looking for a fight today. I'm talking about if you stand up for Christ, it's coming your way whether you like it or not. A church that stands for God, it's coming your way whether you like it or not. And here's what he said, during these misfortunes, you've seen my tears. Many times church members don't know the tears of a pastor when someone speaks those awful words, usually not to the pastor, to somebody else, I'm leaving the church. I'm not staying here. It breaks our heart. Do I have an amen to this? It breaks our heart. Even the people that have given us the most grief and caused trouble, they say, that's it, I'm not wanted around here, I'm going to leave. You find yourself, oh, please don't do that. Just get right. Let's get things resolved. Let's get things settled. It breaks the pastor's heart. And to see the tears of a man of God, he would mention later on in some of his epistles how he'd weep over some of the departures. Look at that, verse number 31. He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with what? Tears. He said, I warned you. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be grievous wolves coming in. They're going to walk in. Wolves don't come in and say, I am the wolf. Aha! They come in and say, bah. They come in sheep's clothing. They come in and say, I am a sheep. How are you, brother? And pretend to be one of the good little sheep that's following the shepherd. And all the while, they've got their eyes on some of those little lambs and looking for some good mutton chops tonight for dinner. And so understand the pastor's watching and warning and giving people admonition. How many of you know? How many of you know it's difficult, if not almost heartbreaking, to confront someone when you know they're in sin? Boy, they don't like it. Do I have an amen to that? How many of you ever woke up any morning of your life and say, I sure wish the pastor would call me today and call me out about something bad I'm doing? Nobody will ever do that. What do you mean? Who do you mean? And choices come at that point. Are you telling me that what I'm doing is wrong? Yes. Are you telling me that this drinking, whatever you're involved in, is wrong? Yes. I'm telling you that God wants you to get it right. There are tears, and he warns day and night. There are tears, there's temptations. And Dr. Smith mentioned this morning, we're not talking about solicitation to evil. We're not talking about bad, horrible, wicked stuff. We're talking about what you and I would call trials. This is what that Peter said, the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, may be found unto his glory and honor. And so he made it very clear, we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. We're going to go through the mill of affliction and of adversity. And I love what James chapter 1 verse 2 said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We've known each other now for some 30 years, really, and I'll call Dr. Belcher and he'll call me and, we'll commiserate a little bit, but it doesn't last too long. Ridiculous things happen in churches. They didn't tell us in Bible school. I wish they would have. I wish they would have had a special class called whack-a-mole. Have you ever played whack-a-mole? It's where the little gopher sticks up, you hit him, got him, another one. That's what pastors do all day long. They're carrying two little clubs, up, up, up. They didn't tell us that we'd be playing whack-a-mole for the last 30 years trying to keep a church. Oh, wait a minute, and then add some more trouble to this. A school, say amen. He that hath a school hath troubles that he knoweth not of. I mean, the devil has schools, has trust stuff that he dreams up every week. Some new issue for a school. They don't care that you had a 30th anniversary. They don't care if the church is happy. There's always problems, and we're always involved in these trials of life. But he said, count it all joy. He said, go ahead and just keep on rejoicing. And I appreciate, Pastor, that you do count it all joy. You just stay with it, stay at it. You never complains, not long, And we get past it, so let's move off of Misery Boulevard and move over to Hallelujah Street, amen? Because we have a lot more to thank God for than we do to complain about, say amen? It is Thanksgiving season. What would it be like if all of God's people took that seriously and said, I'm going to start thanking and praising and glorifying God for everything God does in my life, and to walk together in this unity of rejoicing in God? Well, there's his misfortunes, and then he speaks about his message. I love what Paul said. And he said this, and first of all, in verse number 21, look at it, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 24. He said, I neither count my life dear to myself. Look at this. And the ministry, he said, I'm going to finish my course, verse 24, so that I might finish my course with complaining. Is that what he said? I might finish my course with what? Joy. Want to finish strong. Going to finish this thing up joyfully. And the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I don't know what all the things the Church of the Open Door does or doesn't do. I don't know what all the cool and latest trendy stuff this church does. I know one thing about Church of the Open Door with the former pastor and the pastor that's here now these 30 years. I know one thing. The gospel goes out of this place loud and clear. Say amen. The sinless life, the vicarious death, the supernatural resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead, and his soon coming from heaven. This church preaches all those things. The gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no counting how many people have been saved because of the message that goes out from this place. I'm glad they cut a part of that video clip from last night off. One of them, he said, I'm slobbering all over the pulpit. And then he pulls out a hanky and starts wiping it off. And I'm going, get me away from this thing. But I'm saying that, man, whether somebody's quiet and reserved and careful in their speech, whether somebody's wide open, fired up, and I mean just letting her go and, letting her rip potato chip and all that stuff, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care about their style as long as the Word of God is sounding forth and the gospel message goes out from this place. And then, of course, there were his methods. He said in verse 20, he said that I have declared, he said, I have preached, showed you, I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I have a question for you. I'm not your pastor. We're not going to take an official vote, but I'm going to take an unofficial vote. If your pastor is preaching and reading his Bible and studying, getting ready for Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and he comes across something that says, this is going to upset the apple cart, how many want him to preach it anyway? If it's biblical, if it's right, how many want him to declare the whole counsel of God? And I know some of his controversial sermons from the year. I mean, I'm down in Glen Burnie. I heard about several of them. I mean, whew, he said, what? Now, I hope that's embellished. Then I went online and it wasn't even as bad as how he said it. I mean, yeah, we say things and we stand up and we preach against sin. We do what is right. And there is his message, there is his method, and here's how he did it. He said, I did this publicly. I have taught you publicly. That's preaching. That's in the synagogue. That's over at the house of God. And from house to house, knocking on doors. I'm sure there's not a lot of doors in this community that your pastor hasn't knocked on them at some time or another. I was standing at a Kroger with a famous preacher. I had to run in and grab something. I said, wait for me. I got to grab something before we go to the house. And he said, I'm going with you. And I said, no, I'm just going to go into Kroger. He said, I'm going in with you. I said, okay. So he went in with me into the Kroger. We walked in. I grabbed off the counter what I was needing and started to walk out. And the man said, Pastor! Hey, Pastor! And I turned around and he's standing there with two big packs of Budweiser in his hand. He said, and to the man I was with, famous personage, well-known preacher, you'd know him. He said, that's my pastor. And I said, I didn't know him. He said, that's my pastor. He said, you're my pastor, right? And I said, why? He said, remember you've been knocking on doors and saying everybody needs a pastor. You don't have a pastor. How about if I become your pastor? He said, remember you prayed for me? And said, he said, you're my pastor. This is Brother Rossi. He said, I have his card on my refrigerator. He's my pastor. I said, well, you say it like that, I'm your pastor, amen. But get rid of that liquor. And I, that famous preacher, I tried to explain. He wasn't a great listener. I said, oh, man, listen. He said, and I knew he had a new sermon, so amen to that. But I'm saying that your pastor's knocked on these doors around here. He's gone to the hospitals. He's visited the sick. I don't know how many times I've called, so I got to go down to the hospital. I have to go do this. I was glad to see him down at the Lexington Market giving out tracts in one of those videos. And understand, publicly and from house to house. Let me hurry. I've only got two more points, and I'm going to give you an application. There were his methods, but what about his monument? The apostle said, I'm going to set down something in stone. This is a monument that will not be moved. This is something that I don't care what group comes along. A couple of years ago, they had the riots in Baltimore, and they took the Little Italy. There was a little horse and rider, Christopher Columbus, and they threw it in the harbor. I was glad to know the Sons of Italy had a crane. They had it out of there next day, restored it, and stood out there with shotguns and said, don't even think about it. Say amen to that. But a monument. What was Paul's monument? His wasn't a Christopher Columbus statue. It wasn't a marble edifice rising up hundreds of feet into the sky. But here's what he said. He said, I know this, none of these. He said, the Holy Ghost, verse 23, witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things, what? Move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Here is my monument. I'm fixed. I have a position. I'm not moving. I'm glad to say that you have two men here tonight. If they move, I'm going to be shocked. I've had a lot of people who've moved. A lot of men who've swerved away from their position. I think these two good men are staying right where God wants them to be. Amen? That's their monument. I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm standing on, thus saith the Lord. I'm stranded on sovereignty, shipwrecked on omnipotence, but I'm going to stand with God no matter what they say, no matter what they do. If every church in this community comes against us, and by the way, a lot of them are, there are a lot of churches that will not stand, will not do right. I read just the other day that there's only about 2% of preachers in America who will stand up, about 17,000 preachers who will stand up and preach on issues and preach against social problems and preach against sin. Hey, how many believe this? There's still two genders. Two. Not five, six, seven, or eight. There's chickens and hogs not far from here that are smarter than some of our Supreme Court justices. A chicken knows a hen. A rooster knows a hen when he sees one. Say amen to that. A big old hog knows a sow when he sees one. So they're smarter than some of them. And your pastor stands on the Bible, on the family, on the home, on what is right, say amen. Amen. Fixed. He stayed. None of these things move me. There's a monument. And then there was Paul's memorial. His memorial followed him out into eternity because he did stay. He did stand. And he made it very, very clear. Verses 28, 29, and 32, and I'll be closing. 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the flock of God, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Verse number 29, I know after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. His memorial was this. When you study his epistles, and you study 2 Timothy in chapter 4, his swan song, his farewell to those he left behind. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears, and shall depart from the truth. But Paul said a few verses later, I'm now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And I can tell you this, my hope and my prayer, and yes, my confidence, is that Pastor Belcher, the day when the Lord comes, he may come soon, and I hope he does. I just want more people to get saved, that's all. Say amen. But he's coming back. If you're wondering about it, just let me say this. He's coming back. Don't text me, I'm coming, dude. You'll be in so much trouble. Yeah, I have a good memory on some things. A message from the balcony. But I'm saying to you tonight, he's coming back and he's coming soon. And his memorial was, he was looking for Christ. He was preaching Christ. He was lifting up Christ. He was magnifying Christ. And as a result of that, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The living cross, the living Christmas tree, the ministries of this church, the soul winning and bus programs, the ministries of this church that we saw today. The memorial is this church is going to go on for God, serving the Lord with all humility and tears and all that came with it. Turn to Hebrews 13. I told you I would give you a verse and then I will close, and I will. Hebrews 13. In my, I pray it's a humble opinion. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Some people do not. I have some good scholars that would take me to task. I believe he wrote it, but correct me if I'm wrong. Whoever wrote it did a great job. Hebrews 13, verse 7. He gave us three admonitions. A church that has a man of God for a pastor. A church that has a good, faithful man of God who stands on this book and holds it up high and lifts up the cross and holds it up high and preaches Christ regularly and faithfully and lifts him up high. These are the three things God wants. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Have you say, Pastor Norris Belcher has spoken to you the word of God. Amen. Let's try that again. Have you say, Pastor Norris Belcher has spoken to you the word of God. Amen. Remember them. Remember them. And then he said, whose faith follow. That means to get in line. Emulate what he's doing. Find out where he's at. We know we're not into man worship. I'm not saying any of that. We're not saying, 100% buttons for Pastor Belcher or Dr. Smith or Lou Rossi or anybody else. We're 100% for Jesus. Amen to that? But to follow and get behind and remember them, what would they do? How would they respond during this situation? What would they say right now? Remember, number two, this is a more difficult one for some people. Verse 13, same chapter. Verse 17, same chapter, 13, verse 17. First word, what does it say? Say it out loud. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit them yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Make it easy. Make it easy for the pastor to give an account for you. Make it easy. Remember, obey. And finally, first word, what is it? Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. So me and all my Italian brothers, amen? They salute you. What does that mean? We're supposed to, when the pastor walks in, click our heels, oh, it's a pastor. No, that's not the idea. The idea there is to honor him. And you did that wonderfully today. You're to be commended as a church, and I know that's how pastor feels. You're to be wonderfully commended for the way you treated your pastor and his family and did so well at recognizing his 30 years of service. Remember your pastor. Not one day of the year, 365 days of the year. Obey. Do what he says. Follow. And we're not talking about blind obedience, but obey his teaching and preaching from the Word of God. And yes, salute, honor him, lift him up, glorify God on his behalf. I'd like for us at this time, let's bow our heads and our hearts together for prayer. Nobody's looking around. With our heads bowed just for a moment. And I'd like as our musicians come to play whatever they have selected, whatever's on their heart. How many would say here tonight? First of all, I want to, just by your uplifted hand, I want to thank God for my pastor. I thank God for Pastor Belcher. Could I see your hands, please, all over the many, many, many hands all over the room. I thank God for Pastor and Karen and their family and all they mean to us, Church of the Open Door. And how many would say, by the grace of God, because of all he's done, I'm going to remember him. I'm going to follow his faith. I'm going to do what it takes to stand strong and stay. Even when others quit in this day of falling away, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stay with it. Could I see your hands? Please remember them. And then you'd say, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to honor God. Our pastor's preaching. I can't wait to hear it. I want to serve the Lord and do what's right. Yes, many hands. And finally, in every way that I can, I'm going to honor the man of God. Could I see your hands? I have no idea how many hours it was that they met at Miletus. It's probably revealed. I haven't studied it well enough to know. But I want to know that, once you know, that was hours at best. We're talking about decades. You've been meeting with a man of God in this place. Every week, week in, week out, month in, month out, for 30 years. And all over the room, God is speaking to you about this. I wonder how many would just say, I'm going to come crowd the altar tonight and pray for my pastor, pray for his family, and I know him. What do you really want, Pastor? I know he covets your prayers. I know that. That God would keep him right in there in his hand, as he does with those seven pastors in the book of Revelation, to keep him close. And all over the room, as the musicians play, why don't you find a place at this altar and take a moment and pray for the man of God. Just slip out, find a place here. Wouldn't it be a wonderful day if we would see revival in these last days at Church of the Open Door? To see the power of God, to see people saved in large numbers one more time before he comes. For God to use your pastor in a great and mighty way. Let's all stand together. God is dealing with your heart. A number are coming already. Just find a place at the altar to kneel and pray. Call on the Lord for your pastor, for his wife, for their family. Get by and speak to them on a day that's not designated. Just drop in and say, I love you, Pastor. Praying for you today. Let them know how you feel, how much you care. Winter's coming. Drop by. Help him shovel the snow. Whatever it takes just to be a blessing to the man of God in your life. If you need to get saved tonight, perhaps there's one here you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You say, Preacher, pray for me. I want the Lord in my life. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Could I see your hand, please? Anyone like that at all? Not sure you're going to heaven when you die, but you'd like to settle that tonight. That'd be the greatest way to conclude our service. Anyone like that at all? A meeting with a man of God. I pray when you come to church, you're going to say, I'm going to go meet with the man of God. He's going to preach to us. He's going to tell us what's right. He's going to tell us how to live. Let's go learn. Let's get a hold of it. Let's trust God for it. Our Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for the wonderful day when you called Pastor Belcher here. We thank you for his family. Thank you for his life, his ministry, his testimony. Thank you for his manner, message, and all the things we preached about tonight. I thank you for Dr. Smith and the great, wonderful friendship they maintain, these two dear, beloved men. We pray your hand upon us in the days ahead. May you bless as only you can. Continue to watch over Church of the Open Door. Father, we pray that this church will have revival. We pray there'll be a spirit of an outpouring of lost people saved and lives changed as people come in to meet with a man of God. May they never be disappointed. Thank you for your grace tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said together,